Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon from iHeartRadio. Your pop culture news, views, reviews, and celebrity interviews on all the movies, TV, music, and pop culture you crave weekly. Here's Kyle McMahon.
Hello.
What's up, Kyle?
How are you, sir? I appreciate you speaking with me. I really do.
I'm good, man. No complaints on this end. I'm out here. I'm in LA currently.
Awesome. And I got to say, first of all, I've loved you forever, and probably even more so than your music. What I've loved is your business acumen. You know, it's incredible. And that shows through even in things like, you know, Power and Raising Canaan. So kudos to you for being an example to so many of us for that. So Power, wow, the Power universe, especially, you know, book three, Raising Canaan, is why was that so important for you to tell Canaan's story?
But that period, the 90s, things were so different musically. Fashion, it's really the golden era. Even the trade, being able to live above average, based on you being connected to the community versus, you know, other periods, things are different in a different time frames. So me going back, the idea of capturing that time period was exciting for me because I'm just a fan of things at that point. You know what I'm saying? So it's like this is the early stages when there is no, I mean nothing to music when this story is taking place. So it's cool to talk about that and explore those stories and that energy that was going on at that point. And Sasha did an amazing job with it. Like, you know, like, putting it in a nutshell, television production is find the best possible story you can find and then just make up some shit. Right? Because it's not supposed to be exactly what happened or that accurate. And because if we do that, if we told your life story, we'd be telling other people's story at the same time. There's no life that has no one else in it, mm-hmm. You know, and that, and then we'll run into those lines where we get sued for shit. So they make up some things and build it out in order to have it be entertaining all the way, every episode, you know. And I give Sasha all of the credit for that, for how it came out, because he's been in the Power universe the entire time. He was in the original writer's room for Power, and increments at points that these people break off. I tore that writer's room apart, bro. Like, I made hit shows out of everybody that was in there, like a bunch of people in there. I got Randy Hudgens was in that original room and is now the writer showrunner for BMF. And they'll see that in September. So it's a lot going on. Yeah.
I love it. And you know, what's cool to me is the cast is complete powerhouses, Patina and Makai. I mean, like, it's incredible.
Yeah. And you know, I think them being together, it complements each other on different levels. Cause the Patina is a different level intensity like that. She's dedicated. There's so much going on there that this is hard to look. It's easy for us to say that, and it makes sense when you get a chance to look at it. You see it, like she's the heavyweight champion on screen. Then you see her, she's this cute little thing right there in front of you. Like, what's going on, bro? Like, doesn't even feel like the same person when you interact with her. And it's, she's done the work to make that energy come out when she's actually on the screen, and it's amazing. And then you put Makai next to her, and he's all the way ready for the success at this point. Like, you go, a lot of times, Michael Rainey was a special case because Michael was 12 in Power. He grew up on the show, like the whole, and now he's actually running it, but he's been trained to be now number one on the call sheet, but he's been on the call sheet since he was 12.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's people who have an experience or a level of success in their experience that you can't even fathom what's going on with them because they've been successful so long. Like, when it starts that early at 12, that was his first job. He worked all over the place before that. Like, right. So he just, that's all he knows to do that, you know, to work and get going. Like, this is when child stars, when they become big actors later, they've been doing it for so long that this is like, give it to me. I got you. Whatever you need.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it, you know, she is just rock, her character. I mean, that's the other great thing about it is the writing is so strong. And what is it, you know, seeing sort of a version of yourself in right. some in ways, a little 25 cent, if you will, from back in the day. What is that like for you, you know, kind of looking back in an inspired by way?
It's exciting, like, because we introduced Kanan in Power, you see him in a damaged state, like at the end of that run. Like, so the Makai is able to offer them innocence at points and for them to feel and process the traumas, the things that he's going through. They turned them into what you saw him be when I was performing as the character. And I stole from a bar from Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of me being the voiceover, the adult version of Kanan, while Makai is the young version, is Ray Liotta's adult voice being speaking over Sonny, the young character version of his character. And because I had that template, you know, going to talk to Sasha about it, we was able to get and build that out. And and make it, you know, feel good. Like it's not picking points where you can utilize the voiceover. Definitely does allow you the ability to advance the scenes and stuff like that, or transition into different things. So, you know, it's a cool process. And it doesn't bother me to do it because I'm recording anyway. I can do the voiceover in my house, like downstairs. Right.
Well, thank you so much, sir. The show, the whole universe is incredible, but you know, my heart is really for book three. It's something about it is just really incredible. And of course you obviously are a huge part of that. Thank you for speaking with me. And thank you again for being a role model for what people can do, not just in music, but in entertainment in the business world.
Well, we get them. It's a pleasure, man.
Thank you. How are you guys?
Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. I absolutely love this series. It is so good.
Oh, good. Yay.
Yeah, it is awesome. And I'm waiting for them to send me the last two episodes because I'm dying. I need to know.
They're so revelatory, those last two episodes. They're really something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm even more like. So tell me, for you, for both of you, you know, your characters are, I would say, in many ways, mourning, you know, dealing with grief in different ways. Would you mind, you know, speaking to that a little bit? Grace, you could start.
Yeah. I think that's such a huge part of the Marconi's journey is that they are dealing with the same instance in completely different ways, and they really need to reconnect as a family and deal with it together. And I think that is just a testament to how everybody deals with grief in a different way, and there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's very subjective and personal to your experience, but I think that's why they go to this retreat in the first place to figure it out and to figure out how to deal with it together and not be disconnected and grow from it as opposed to fall.
And how about for you, Asher?
Yeah, I think so too. Look, I mean, that disconnect that Grace is talking about is something that was really present for us as we were shooting it all the way through the 6 months. And they're all reaching for the same thing, and that is some sense of acceptance and equilibrium within their relationships, but also a connection that they're really missing. They're really missing that. It feels like it's just been torn away from them. I think for Heather, as she moves through the journey, and it becomes a journey that she would normally, I think, be so terribly confronted by, but actually is asking herself, how far would I actually go to reconnect with someone that I've lost and also my family? I think that's the question that propelled us all the way through. How far would we go to try and find that sense of peace so that we can keep living? I mean, Heather's at a point where she just doesn't know if she can. Mm-hmm. So, it was a rigorous emotional journey for all of us, but really, really great too.
Yeah, I bet as actors, it really had to take a toll on you, at least emotionally, you know, in living in that grief for the shoot.
It did, but you know, sometimes you want to stay in that. Sometimes you want to feel that and experience it as actors and not run away from it and sit in it, even though it's difficult then to go home at the end of the night if you have kids or a partner or, you know, whoever's there, and you need to, you know, sense of generosity as well with them. But it was affecting. I don't think I climbed out of it for a few months after we'd finished filming, to be honest.
Wow. Thank you both so much. I really appreciate you speaking with me. I love the show, and I can't wait for everybody to see it and see your amazing performances.
Thank you so much.
Great, Kyle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Weekly. Hear all the latest at popcultureweekly.com.